This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyu al-ikhwa, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nasallallaha ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyiatina nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa ilayhi nawakkal. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ Praise be to Allah, send peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after salams to you all, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to accept from us, to purify our intentions for His pleasure, to give us and nourish us with useful knowledge and understanding, which is beneficial to us in this world and the hereafter, and to give us wide sustenance. On Allah we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our return. There is no power and might except but of Allah. We were contemplating on Hadith number 15, just to remind you, of Imam An-Nawawi's Arba'een from his collection, in which he mentions that an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut wa man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ رواه البخاري ومسلم, as he says. And here Abu Huraira saying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him or her speak good or be silent. Yeah. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let them be good and generous to his or her neighbor. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let them be, or him or her be good to and generous to his or her guest. And I mentioned very quickly what we mentioned last time without going into details, that this hadith is in Bukhari, Muslim, from various Sahaba, Abu Huraira especially, but one or two others, and also in Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood. These words that Imam Nawawi's chosen specifically are the ones in Sahih Muslim, but similarly, it's just in different orders. It's mentioned in Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood. For example, in one of the versions in Bukhari, it says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jara. It begins with whoever believes in Allah on the last day, they should be kind and generous to the neighbor. And man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim daifa. Then it mentions the guest. And then it mentions should speak good or be silent. In fact, many of them do mention speak good or be silent at the end. One or two mentioned it at the beginning. The order is not really that important. It depends on which chain it came through and how the narrator is remembered from the Sahabi or the Sahaba who are mentioning it, and how they remember from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember, they're giving you the meaning, and the order is not crucial in that regard. The meaning is still there, whichever version of these hadith you take. Last time we focused primarily on some of the comments of the people doing the exegesis or the exploration or explanation of this hadith from the classical works, whether it's Imam Nawawi or Imam At-Tufi or Ibn Rajab. Some of that we'll refer to again, and I refer back to, and as Zaragoza in his book, who heavily relies on Ibn Rajab's Al-Hanbali, his works. But we focused on about speaking good or being silent, and in a sense, the summary of it is that that doesn't mean to say fasting from speaking. Remember, it's not saying stay silent. It's saying speak good or be silent. In other words, be careful before we speak and what we say. And as I said last time, many ahadith bring that idea out of, and we mentioned last time, sometimes it's not just necessary, but obligatory to speak rather than be silent. And actually, it's a sin to remain silent. These are some of the things we talked about last time. While we're talking about speaking good, or just speaking, actually, the reality of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made human beings and gave them languages. وَمِنْ آيَتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, amongst his signs that he created you. And also he says, وَمِنْ آيَتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ Amongst his signs means his amazing benefits and bounties that Allah gave us, aside from creation of the heavens and the earth, is the variations of languages, أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, of tongues, meaning languages, and variations in colors. This is amongst the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a tongue and language. He didn't give it, he gave it for a purpose. Yeah. Of course, the tongue has purpose, many purposes of tasting, etc. But one of the primary persons, human beings, being a nobility of the human being, is expressing themselves in language. So if Allah gave us a tongue, he didn't tell us to fast from speaking. So this is not part of ibadah, as we mentioned last time, but I'm taking it more on a basis of fitrah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, gifted it with a tongue. So we weren't meant to sit silent. The haram side of, or bad side of speaking depends on what we say and how we say it, as we said last time. But we're supposed to speak. And even some people, and I'd like to mention this because I remember dealing with this issue in the 80s, involved in the da'wah and Islamic work. And this was a popular notion that was spread around, which I was never happy with. Some people actually, and you will have heard this, they made the voice of the woman awra. What does that mean? Awra means that which is naked and which should be covered and hidden. And they made it awra in the sense that a woman not only should be hidden from men, of course excluding the husband and the immediate family who are blood ties, but they meant from other men, hidden with complete covering, or stay inside the house, and she shouldn't come out unless it's really necessary. Some scholars came with this idea up until this day and from early times. Really her place was like a prisoner at home. I'm being serious. This is the teachings of some. Over the centuries, it's been peddled, this idea, till this day. If you ask some of the people, actually, if you ask many of the very religious imams who are coming out with scholarships and things, and what they come out with in regards to the woman, you'd be horrified. So if I give you a picture, it would be that she comes out with really a very essential, necessary reason. Otherwise, even, and somebody said, what about shopping? And the husband said, no, I'll do the shopping. I can do it. Even though I've got time, she can stay inside completely. So, and if she comes out for some medical emergency, perhaps for her health, she has to be covered head to toe with black, perhaps one eye showing. Anyway, I don't want to go into the issue of hijab. You can look at my seminars on hijab and the whole issue of the covering and Islam, the whole load of seminars uploaded on YouTube, as far as I'm aware, available. But so the image, aside from that, is to be mahboos, is a prisoner in the house. Not only that, she's not allowed to speak when she comes out, because some of these people said the voice is aura, like she is to be hidden from sight, because showing the face would be like showing her nakedness. That's how they see it. I'm quoting them. They also say speaking for her would be not allowed. And on that basis, some of them actually said about women speaking on a stage and women giving lectures, women teaching with men sitting there, all that is haram, not allowed. Yeah. And what's the evidence they try and use for the voice being aura? Well, they haven't got any, actually. But in fact, the evidence they indirectly use are related to the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mentioned in the Quran. And I mention this because it's about speaking. Remember, the hadith is about speaking good or being silent. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first, Ya Nisa al-Nabiyu lestunneke ka ahadin minan nisa. إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول وقلن قولا معروفا. This is Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 32, yes. Allah says, O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other women. This is a very important statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because later on it also mentions in the same surah that their good works are rewarded double compared to other Muslim and believing women, and their sin is also doubled as well. So in other words, they have to be more careful. So Allah saying, you are not like other women. In ittaqaytunna, if you are God-fearing, if you fear God, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. So do not, some people translate this as saying, do not lower or make your voice effeminate. Well, actually, you're a female. What do you mean, don't make it effeminate? You are, I always found this really ridiculous. If I don't laugh, I'll cry about it, actually, because it's not saying that. Yeah. How can you tell a female not to make your voice effeminate? Yes, you can say to a man, don't make your voice effeminate. Yeah. How can the Quran from the Creator come to females and say, don't make your voice effeminate to women? It's just nonsensical. Yeah. A great tragedy to translate this verse like that. Khada does mean to lower. But here, you have to understand from the context and the conversation what it means. Yeah. And if I, the context, just, yeah, is very important to understand. So lower, but it's not saying lower your voice. It's saying, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Qawl is speech. So how can I say do not be lowering speech? It could be, if you literally want to translate, qawl can mean speech, yeah, but that's where its original meaning is. But sometimes it can be applied to the voice, but it's not being talking about the voice here. Voice is salt, yeah, salt, which is used in other parts of the Quran, like Allah SWT says in Surah Luqman, wagdud min saltik. Yeah, that is control your voice, meaning don't make it harsh. Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir. Surely the harshest of voices, now it's talking about voice, not qawl. Qawl is speech. So in that part of the Quran, sawt directly is being used, that's voice. So do to control the voice, don't make it harsh, shouting and bawling. Surely the harshest of voices is that of a donkey. Yeah. So that's a totally different issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the Sahaba at the time of the Prophet saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. O you who believe, do not raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahaba, they were being told off. They were in front of the Prophet, and he was speaking. They raised their voice over him. They're discussing with each other, yeah, loudly, because that's indecency, and it's also very poor etiquette. Because this is not like any other man. It's not even like a king or a queen. Yeah, how do people behave when they go before kings and queens and presidents here? They don't shout and bawl. They're very reverent. This is the messenger of God, the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, so Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here mentioned the voice, raising it. Yeah, la tarfau aswatakum. Then it goes, wa la tajharu bil qawlika jahri ba'dikum li ba'd. Now, context tells us here that it's speaking now, don't raise your voices with the Prophet when you're speaking with him, as you speak to each other. Yeah, don't use the same kind of loud and blaring speech. So even though it uses all there, but the context tells you that he's talking about speaking loudly and in a particular way as you speak to each other. Be careful, meaning you speak to him with more humility and respect. Yeah. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah Al-Hujurat says, inna alladhina yaghudduna aswatahum, surely those who control, similar to Surah Luqman. Now, yaghudduna, those who control their voices, inda Rasulillah, in the presence of the Messenger of Allah. Yeah, and it promises rewards for them. And those who raise them, it says that their sins, their deeds, good deeds, may be just wiped away. لا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. While you don't even realize, because this is insolence and great disrespect to the Prophet. That's talking about the voice there more than anything. Here in this ayah, saying about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it tells you the reason, and that shows you the meaning and context. The context tells you the meaning of it. Doesn't mean lowering the speech. What does lowering speech mean? And it doesn't mean making your voice not effeminate. Yeah. So in other words, a woman should try and speak like a man when she's speaking to men who are not husband and close family. That kind of takalluf has not been sent from Allah and his messenger. Nowhere did the messenger tell any woman when she came to speak, can you speak like a man? You're speaking like a woman. Can you change your voice, please? Because these guys are getting sort of worked up and attracted by just nonsense. Subhanallah. We have authentic hadith about women singing with the Prophet sitting there. Yeah, singing. In a singing voice. And people, therefore, and I'll come to that in a minute. You know, I remember in the early days, this was in the 80s, being affected by this kind of idea. I never really thought that, saw the voice as old. I didn't know, I never accepted that kind of thing, that the voice of a woman was haram to listen to and blah, blah, blah. But the idea, the woman shouldn't be so effeminate with her voice and but should try and speak like a man, that affected us. And I remember one of our teachers taught us this kind of thing, in the 80s. And we had a visit in one of the conferences, Islamic conferences, organized by the FOSIS at the time. And that was a visit by the great Zainab al-Ghazali. Anybody heard of Zainab al-Ghazali? Rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy on her soul. Nobody? You're all too young. Well, somebody has. Somebody must have from the group. Nobody's going to speak. I don't mean have you met her, but has anybody heard of Zainab al-Ghazali? Bilal. Yeah, I thought Bilal Khaffaf. Yes, Jaffa, I thought you might have. Bilal is my son and friend. Okay, good. Well, Zainab al-Ghazali, she's written a book Yeah, Return of the Pharaoh. It's a painful read, but it's an important read. I had the privilege of meeting this da'iya, this mujahida, this woman, in her house in Egypt. And my family went, my wife and my children also met her, actually, so they know her. And she, because of wanting to follow Islam and spread, she suffered at the hands of the Egyptian authorities, was put in prison. It's a long story. Nevertheless, anyway, she was one of the guests at the Forces Conference here, and she came to speak, and we happened to be there. And I remember the brother who was a teacher for us, who I love so much and have respect for, but that was his ideas at that time. He was saying to us, oh, look at this amazing woman. Because she gave a lecture. She's all right giving a lecture in front of all these guys and women, because her voice sounds like a man's voice. It was as though she chained her voice, because that was what was being suggested with the brother who was saying this to me. Look, she's chained her voice to make it sound like a man, aggressive, so she's fine. There's no problem here. Yeah. As though she's following some Quranic verse, which is telling her to do that, which is nonsense. Actually, that was the voice of Zainab al-Ghazali. That's how she normally spoke to men and women. She didn't change her voice. So we were having this impression, you see, you can run away with wrong ideas that mashallah, so muttaqi, from the muttaqeen, because she's actually changing her voice to keep that. And it was a complete misunderstanding, misapplication of the verses in the Quran, or anything but from the Quran, so not telling women to change their voices and not be effeminate. And she spoke like that always. Yeah, she had a very strong voice and a very strong presence, actually. And if you read her story, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, so what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say when He says here to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in ittaqaytunna fala takhda'na bil qawl, and you are not like other women, any other woman, if you fear Allah, then do not be with your speech, what, because it tells you after, fayatma alladhi fi qalbihi marad, so that the one who has disease in his heart from the males, there's already a problem with the person. Yeah, the woman's not being blamed, as they say. Oh, look, Allah's saying, so the one who has disease in his heart, lest he should lust after you, for yatman, or desire you. So what does it mean? Don't be suggestive in your talk. Yeah. This khada'a means in speech, not to lower your speech. Doesn't make sense here. That will make any difference. It's by being suggestive in speech. So don't be suggestive in your speech, not in your voice, in your speech, but it can cover indirectly the voice as well. But he's talking about words, what you're going to use, especially, but not to change your voice. Nothing here about changing your voice. Instead, it says, and then look what it says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wives, on whom hijab was put, this segregation, especially because they were never going to get married again after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or after after the death. So that was special for them. Wa qulna qawlan ma'rufa, and they are ordered. This qulna, is an amr, a command from Allah, and speak. So he's not telling them to stay silent. He's ordering the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to speak. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and speak speech which is everyday, normal, good speech. Ma'ruf here means speak like what you speak about in everyday things, not suggestive speech, but everyday things. How's the weather? How are you? How's your family? Blah, blah, blah. This is قَوْلًا مَعْرُوف. Yeah, doesn't mean that you only have to speak about the Quranic verse says this, brother, do you know this about the Prophet? Can you, the word, subhanAllah, this is just complete misunderstanding. Ma'ruf means here what is culture, what people normally speak about out there. It's fine to speak with others. And you know, this has affected religious people in the sense of when they get the misunderstanding of this voice being all right, speaking to men. Yeah. I think actually more than some, many Muslim women who try to be practicing because of their teachers who are teaching them have it in the back of their head, there's a problem with them talking to men. And I've said this in the mosque, and I've said it many times in circles and in khutbahs as well, that they're all right, these women, mashallah, with hijab, who I have the greater respect for my sisters, they're all right speaking to the milkman and the teacher at school, non-Muslim, no problem. They're pretty relaxed about it. But soon as a Muslim man coming outside a mosque, whether it's the imam or otherwise, walks by, they have a problem. They don't, never mind our problem, they don't even say salam. Okay, fine, they don't say salam. They don't even respond to salam when I've said it. They ignore you, and I say it loudly on purpose. Yeah, as though there's something wrong with the speech they're not supposed to speak. This is completely alien to the Quran and Sunnah. It's not acceptable. And when the obligation of replying to salam is mentioned, yeah, by ulama and by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, more reward for the one who begins, but the Quran tells you that if you are greeted, that you must greet back. Yeah? That is for male and females. Yeah. So this scrambling of the brain and this mentality has affected the public and people who try to be religious, and I think it's missing the point and missing the mark. Yeah, missing the point and missing the mark. How are you, brother? How are you, sister? How's your family? Assalamu alaikum. Are you coming to the mosque? What a nice day. What's wrong with speaking like that? This Quran and Islam teaches us adab and etiquette of how to speak, yeah, to the opposite sex. Doesn't tell us to remain silent, neither does this hadith. So, in line with what we talked about last time about speaking good or remaining silent, yeah, speaking good includes, yeah, speaking good doesn't mean that it has to be just about Quran and hadith and the hereafter. Does it? Everybody understand that? Yeah, speaking good, yeah, as the Quran says, قُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. مَعْرُوف means as long as it's not harmful, as long as it's not lies or deceiving or backbiting or slandering or gossiping, yeah. But speaking about the weather, about how you are, about what you're doing and things like that, it's all under speaking good. So I hope that clarifies some aspect of that idea, which has led to, I believe, great injustice to many of our sisters who feel as though, you know, when they speak, that somehow they've got to not only hide, but they've got to hide their voices as well. I'm afraid this is contrary and against the Quran, so I believe strongly in that regard. So, as I said, we mentioned that, and I wanted to mention, if you remember, I mentioned last time under remaining silent, what to remain silent from, under remaining under the title of speaking good, what kind of things and how to be honest and truthful and not lie. And in that regard, there's, I think I mentioned this. I did mention this, so I will skip over that. Now, the next section of the hadith, as we have it, the version from Sahih Muslim in Imam Nawawi, is "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim jara," and as in some versions, should be kind, good, and generous. It covers all that. Ikram, yeah, yukrim. Covers all those things. And in some hadith, as I mentioned to you last time, it says, Fala yu'zi jara, for example, in a hadith which is in Bukhari, yeah, that they should not harm the neighbor. Should not harm the neighbor. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, it mentions as Yeah, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ, as a version in Sahih Muslim. Yeah, whoever believes on the last day, he or she should not harm the neighbor. That's the taking it from an opposite end. Not harming them is like is being good with them as well. And in regards to the neighbor, there's a comment I liked that was made by Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, which is mentioned by as a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a statement of Hassan al-Basri. So Hassan al-Basri, who died in 110 Hijri from the Tabi'een, was a great scholar and a zahid. He said, "Laysa husnul jawar kafful adha, walakin husnul jawar ihtimalul adha." He said, being a good neighbor or being neighborly is not just holding back harm from the neighbor. However, being a good neighbor is bearing up with the harm caused to you by the other neighbor with sabr. That is being a good neighbor. That's what he's explaining, what being kind, generous, and good to the neighbor is about. Is what you can bear from them. Not like most of us are. He swore as once and will swear back 10 times. Yeah, that's how most people are like, aren't they? Yeah, and that's how we become like. But we need to seriously think what is being neighborly and what is good. So that's ihsan. That is being good to the neighbor, as we'll see, which is brought out in a verse of the Quran as well. But before I go there, so many things, so many ahadith are mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to the neighbor. I mentioned last time briefly before we finished that neighbor, as Imam Nawawi says, and it's mentioned as an opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha. Imam Nawawi says it means 40 houses in every direction from where you are. And that's similarly meant from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in a circular route around 40 houses. But what do they mean by that? We don't have to take that literally. What are they actually saying? They're saying it in their time and context. But what they're actually saying, that a neighbor is the neighborhood, as I said last time. Yeah. So this isn't limited to just the person in your in the house next to you on either side. And this is very important to remember. In regards to application of this etiquette, which is ordered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith reported from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radhiyallahu anha and Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, saying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and others as well report this hadith, "Ma zala Jibril yusini biljar hatta zanantu annahu sayuwarithu." Jibril kept on advising about the neighbor to the extent that I thought he was going to give inheritance to the neighbor as well. That's how much stress was being placed on the importance of the rights of the neighbor. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. In another hadith in Musnad Ahmad, this particular hadith I've just mentioned about Jibril advising is also mentioned in Tirmidhi, his Al-Jami'a, and I like it because it has a little bit more detail. And it's mentioned here from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the son of Amr ibn al-As, obviously, who was one of the great companions of the Prophet and narrator of many hadiths, radiallahu anhu. He said, Mujahid is reporting from him, the Tabi'i, and he said, "Zubihat lahu shat fi ahlihi, falamma jaa qad." a sheep had been slaughtered for the family of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, okay, for their consumption. And he came, meaning he came home. قال, and he said, أهديتم لجارنا اليهودي, أهديتم لجارنا اليهودي, have you gifted or given some of this meat to our Jewish neighbor? He repeated it twice, stressing on it, because he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, and he mentioned this hadith, ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. Yeah, subhanAllah. That's Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As applying the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that's why I like the hadith, in which is authentic in Tirmidhi as well, which gives it a bit more detail from the Sahabi putting things into practice. Musnad Ahmad, I mentioned, from Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يشبع المؤمن دون جاره. A believer can never be full, full with food, meaning, and without his neighbor. A believer's belly, in other words, cannot be full without his neighbor. This hadith is good. The famous one that we normally is quoted and mentioned, that person is not a believer whose belly is full and his neighbor is hungry. Yeah, this is mentioned by Al-Hakim as a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is weak from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it is a statement, can be said as a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas in Al-Bukhari's Al-Mufrad, Adab al-Mufrad. Yeah, meaning is the same as the one which is a good hadith in Ahmad from Abdullah ibn Umar saying, La yashba'ul mu'min duna jarihi. Yeah, you know, a mu'min, a real believer, doesn't have their belly full under without the neighbor. So you can see that was practiced by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As as well. In Sahih Muslim, Abi Dharr al-Ghifari, he says, قال أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانallah. He said, my dearest advised me, meaning the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, saying, إذا طبخت مرقا فأكثر ماءه ثم منظر إلى أهل بيتي جيرانك فأصبهم منها بمعروف. He's saying that my dearest, he said to me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abi Dharr is saying, that if you cook some soup, yeah, then put extra water in it. And then look to the families of your neighbors and give some to them. Yeah. Bima'ruf, yeah, in a good way. Give some to them as, you know, as which is to share with them, basically, in a good way. So that's a nice hadith in Sahih Muslim that mentioned by, reported by Abi Dharr. Of course, the famous one in Bukhari Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, he or she is not a believer. By Allah, he or she is not a believer. By Allah, he or she is not a believer. They said, who are you talking about, O Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man la ya'munu, ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqah. When he says, by Allah, he's not a believer, this is the same as this hadith. Yeah? I remember what Imam Tufi said, not to make people kafir. This is exaggeration to show about the seriousness of this etiquette. Yeah, that's why the Prophet says here in this hadith, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, who really believes in Allah on the last day, then they should be so and so. So this is similar. By Allah, he is not, meaning he's not really realized what being a proper believer is. By Allah. Yeah, who, the one from whose harm a neighbor is not safe. The one from whose harm a neighbor is not safe. This is similar to this hadith Because remember, being good and considerate and kind, and as in other versions of this hadith, it said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fala yu'zi jirana," doesn't harm his or her neighbor. And in another version, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhulu al-jannata man la ya'muru jaruhu bawa'iqa." That person will not. Somebody said something. That person will not enter paradise, from whose harm a neighbor is not safe. That person will not enter paradise, from whose harm a neighbor is not safe. So, I mean, this is really serious stuff, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for your note, to make note, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 36, وَعَبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى. So all of you worship and serve Allah and do not associate anyone with Him or any, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, don't not associate anything with Him. Then, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be sure ihsan, the best of dealings with, starting with priority with the parents, then says wabidil qurba, and then the relatives, ihsan with the relatives, well then it says wal yatama, and the orphans, wal masakin, and the poor people, wal jari dil qurba. Now it comes to jar, okay, notice, wal jari dil qurba, and the neighbor who is from your relatives, wal jari al junub, and the neighbor who is not from the relatives, a stranger doesn't mean that you don't know them, it means non-relative, but they are neighbor, show them ihsan as well. This is a list. Then it says, was sahibi bil jamb. Some people said the neighbor who is not from the relatives. Not for that one. Some people said for the neighbor from the relatives, they included the wife in that. Others said for was sahibi bil jam, and the companion who is next to you. I believe that's the best meaning of including the wife. You could include it in the other one as well, so it can have a wider meaning. The person next to you can have the meaning of wife in it, but it can also include the person next to you wherever you are, companion that you're with, companion you're traveling with, companion in your class, companion at university, companion at work. They're all included in wasahibi bil jam, including your friends. They're all included in that. Show them ihsan as well. Wabina sabil, and the traveler. Some people, some mufassirun said that the traveler included in that is like they're like the guests. They can be a guest. A traveler can become a guest as well. A guest obviously has a wider meaning than just a traveler. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, and what your right hands possess. And that was referring especially to those who were slaves, to show them ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. For surely Allah does not love the one who is full of arrogance and boastfulness. In other words, to not show ihsan to these people and to behave with a behavior of ihsan, which is being kind, considerate, all the best qualities you can think of with all these category of people. It's a big and wide area, isn't it? If you look at the lists, To not show that shows that there's an element of arrogance of looking down upon them in you, whether it's the neighbor, whether it's the stranger, whether it's the traveler, whether it's the colleague, yeah, all that. Because Allah's warning, surely Allah doesn't, why does he end with that? Surely Allah doesn't love those who are full of boasting and arrogance. Yeah, because in other words, that's what's going to prevent you. And the ayah's carried on. So this ayah here, yeah, the hadith goes in line in regards to the dealing with the neighbors. It's already mentioned in the Quran about showing ihsan to the neighbors. So the hadith is actually a reflection of what the Quran is saying. فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَ is ihsan. Is ihsan to the jar, to the neighbor. Yeah. And ihsan meaning going over and beyond what's necessary. Yeah, that's what the Quran is talking about, showing the best of behavior towards that category of people, starting with family, parents, family, relatives, and going wider and wider, including the poor and the orphans. Look how beautiful these teachings are and what kind of people, actually quality of people, believers are meant to be. Yeah, that they would have such an impact on society if we believers behaved like this. Yeah, behaved like this. And now remember, when it's talking about parents here, it is not qualifying it and saying, yeah, parents who are believers. When Allah SWT is saying to you all of you worship Allah and don't associate anything with him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا and show ihsan to the parents. All parents, belief and disbelief is nothing to do with it, yes? With the relatives, bidil qurba, don't say with the qurba who are believers, yeah? Show best behavior with relatives, with orphans, don't say with Muslim orphans and have nothing to do with non-Muslim orphans. Nothing like that is there in the Quran. And we can't just add it because we feel like it. Well, masakeen, the poor people, yeah? All poor people, yeah? And remember, when it's mentioning neighbor after it, then being a neighbor in your neighborhood gives it a bigger priority, as we'll see in a minute. Causing harm out there to people in the public is bad. But to cause harm, the same harm to your neighbor, is much worse. To be good to those out there in the public is good. But being good to the neighbor fulfills more than the duty of ihsan to the public. It covers the rights of the neighbor as well. And therefore, it is of greater reward. And this is very important to understand. Yeah. So, and the neighbor, no qualification of being believer or disbeliever is being put on it. Yeah, has to be a believing neighbor. Yeah. Nothing like that, Grant. Look at the example we just mentioned in Hadith in Tirmidhi of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Have you given some of this sheep that's been slaughtered for us to our Jewish neighbor? Yeah. Have you done that? And again, bringing out the same point, what I'm trying to say. So, as I've just said that. Causing harm to the neighbor is a bigger sin. And I'm going to mention a few things in line with that. One, in Sahih Bukhari, Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said, "Qultu ya Rasulullah." She said, "I said, O Messenger of Allah, inna li jarain, I have two immediate neighbors." She's talking about now. Fa ila ayyuhuma ahda, from which of them should I give a gift to, if I only have one gift, in other words? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ila aqrabihima minki baban." Give it to the one whose door is nearest to your door. Yeah, nearest to your door. And if everybody followed that, then you don't jump over the rights of the one nearest and go further. Not that you're not allowed to, but they have greater priority. So the Prophet ﷺ, give the one whose door is nearest to your door, if you only have one gift and you want to give it to a neighbor. And then to harm a neighbor, for example, this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, reported from Abdullah, and could be Abdullah ibn Mas'ud here, I think, saying, he says, Sa'altu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ayyu dhanbi a'azamu indallahi. What sin is the greatest before Allah? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Antaj'a lillahi nida, that you set up partners with God. Wa huwa khalaqak, and yet he created you. Qult, then I said, Inna dhalika la'azim. Yeah. He said, I said, surely that is a big, big sin. Qult, thumma ayyu qad, thumma ay, then he said, I said, after that, which is the biggest of sins? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa an taqtula waladak takhafu an yat'ama ma'ak, that you kill your child, yeah, fearing that he's going to eat with you, meaning out of, like the Quran mentions, لا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إلا نحن نرزقهم وإياكم. Quran said the same. Don't kill your children, yeah, either through abortion or otherwise, fearing that you won't be able to provide for them. We will provide, give risk for them and for you. In other words, trust in Allah. Whatever you're going to be tested with. That's not to say that you're not going to be tested with famine if the famine comes to the country. Of course, you know, you can't apply that. Or Allah promised us rizq, and now we're suffering famine in Africa for 3 days and children are starving and dying without no medicine. No, humanity is being tested. There's not lack of rizq and provisions in the earth. It's those who are controlling it and those who are not sharing it. Yeah. And all these things, there are many factors at work. But Allah provides the rizq, but you don't kill the children. He said, I said, then what's after that? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to zaniya halila tajarik, that you do adultery with the wife of your neighbor. He specifically mentioned that. How does that clarify? It's clarified further in a hadith which is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad, which is a good. Good hadith. And he said, sorry, Sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashabahu aniz zina. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions about adultery and fornication. They said, Qalu haramun harramahu Allahu wa rasuluh. Of course it's haram, forbidden. Allah and his messenger have forbidden it. Faqal. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added and said, لأن يزني الرجل بأشرب نسوة أيسر عليه من أن يزني بامرأة جاري. That a man does adultery with 10 women is less meaning of a sin upon him, less burden than that he does adultery with the wife of his neighbor. Shows you the neighborly rights, how serious it is. So for good, this is all covering towards good and priority of the neighbors and the neighborhood as compared to those who are further away. Of course, the message in the hadith isn't that go around doing adultery with everybody else, but don't do it with your neighbor. I'm sure you haven't understood it from that. But if you're going to grade the sin difference between the two, then that is a greater sin. And so the other one's a big sin, but this is even greater. Yeah, because a neighbor is supposed to have trust and more from, you know, you feel that your neighbors are keeping an eye, and that's how it should be, that you trust your neighbors. And if you have untrustworthy neighbors, you can't even sleep at night. If you have untrustworthy people living far away, it doesn't really make much difference to you. But if your neighborhood is that kind of neighborhood, yeah, where the alarms are always going off and thieves are always ransacking, you don't sleep at night. Yeah, it's much more serious, isn't it? It affects the very soul and living of people. They can't even rest or relax. And here's a hadith which brings together the controlling of the tongue as far as good character and the neighbor in it. This hadith is quite famous and is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad. In his Adab al-Mufrad, he doesn't have, it's not like Sahih al-Bukhari. He never says, I've got Sahih hadith here, but there are many good, authentic or Hasan hadith in it. And this is one of them. This is Abu Huraira saying, I heard Abu Huraira says, قيل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إن فلانة تقوم الليل وتصوم النهار. There's such and such a woman, some of you'll know this because I mentioned it a few times before on different lessons, such and such a woman, she stands praying in the night and she fasts during the day. So they're talking about extra fasting and extra prayers in the night, tahajjud or salatul layl. وَتَفْعَلُ وَتَصَدَّقُ, and she does good works, other good works, and she also gives lots of charity. وَتُؤْذِي جِرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا, nevertheless, she is harms her neighbor by with her tongue. Some version of this hadith just says that she harms her neighbor, but this version of it, which is good, says that she harms by saying nasty things. It doesn't have to be swearing, it could be hurtful things, yeah, but it can include all that as well. So she harms her neighbor with her tongue, brings out the idea of the neighbors being good to them and the idea of controlling the. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ, so what did the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ say? He said, لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا, there is no good in her. Subhanallah. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, may Allah save us from that. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there is no good in her. And she's praying in the night and she's giving charity and doing other things and fasting during the day. Fasting during the day extra. And look what the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's saying, there is no good in her. هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, she is from the people of the fire. قَالُوا, that fits with وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ, by Allah, that person doesn't believe, by Allah, that person doesn't believe. And then they said, the Sahaba, وَفُلَانَةٌ تُسَلِّي الْمَكْتُوبَ, there's such and such a woman, she prays the five daily prayers, وَتَصَدَّقَ بِأَثْوَارِ, and she gives bits and bats, yeah? You know, very small thing. As well, some people translate it as a curdled milk or like cheese away as sadaqah. That's, in other words, very little she gives as sadaqah. وَلَا تُؤْذِي أَحَدًا, but she doesn't harm anybody. Yeah? That can mean with the tongue and otherwise. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ, so the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, she is from the people of paradise. Subhanallah. May Allah make us of those people who are from the people of paradise. Now, the last part is, and I want to finish it in the next 10 minutes, if you give me permission, is to do with about the yukrim daifa, about the guest. The guest in Islam, in the Sharia, has a big right, haq, to the extent that a guest, as long as and that guest can be a traveler, as some scholars said, referring to the Quranic ayah, which mentioned being showing ihsan to the traveler, Mawlana Sabir. That guest be somebody who, somebody you may know, but it may be a stranger traveler. And you know, I've heard so many stories of people in Africa, of people in remote parts of Indonesia, from non-Muslims, from the West, or in Morocco, or in the Maghrib, who've traveled and they're in the middle of nowhere, and the Muslims there open their home to them and feed them and give them a place to sleep. And they're just strangers. They have all kinds of looks and appearances. Most of us wouldn't let them even in our garden, never mind to the house. Yeah? Some backpackers who are just wandering around. And they're being treated like that by these Muslims. Nobody knows their names. Nobody wrote stories about them. They're not famous for doing videos like me on the telephone or giving lectures in mosques or their imams, just ordinary folk looking after sheep or just and those people who went there, some affected so much by that hospitality they embraced Islam. Others, it left a mark on their life forever. Yeah. And I know some of you have heard such stories. I certainly have. And that really fits with the practice of what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah and Messenger taught in regards to, in fact, in some of the hadith, it mentions that a neighbor, like in old, there's a hadith which is from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Laylatul Dayf Haq ala kulli Muslim, that one night of being served as a guest, yeah, that doesn't mean just for sleeping, is a right of upon every Muslim, is a duty on every Muslim, for the guest, that is, not Muslim a guest, but the Muslim to give that right to the guest. It's a duty on them. فَمَنْ أَصْبَحَ بِفَنَائِهِ فَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ. Whoever doesn't get that fulfilled from the host, that neighborliness, then it becomes a debt on that person because they didn't give that right to the guest. If insha'a iqtada wa insha'a tarak, if the person has the means that by which they could have given the right to the guest, in this hadith, the Prophet is saying they can actually take the right. You can just get some food or stuff, material stuff, and just take it because they had a right to it. Or they can leave it. And some scholars said they can take it to the qadi, the judge, for fulfilling that right. And the judge can make a pronouncement on the person who didn't give the right to the neighbor. Subhanallah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in various hadith, for example, and some of these versions of this hadith that we're dealing with actually deals with this specific issue, and by the by, mentioned about the neighbor as well, and about speaking good and being silent, but it focuses on this, on the guest. But in this hadith, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Abdiyafatu thalathatu ayyam," that being a guest, or hosting for someone, is 3 days, and some place meaning three nights as well. وَجَائِزَتُهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ. Ja'iza is described by the ulama as having the best meal that is possible for the host to give, not just an ordinary what they have, but the best of what they're able to afford without going through takalluf. Yeah, and I'll clarify that in a minute. Also mean the idea that they don't go out of the overburden themselves what they can't afford, but the best of what they can give, and the guest has one night's right to the best. وَجَائِزَتُهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ, one day and one night. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِرَجُلْ مُسْلِمْ أَنْ يُقِيمَ عِنْدَ أَخِيهِ حَتَّى يُقْسِمَ. However, it is not allowed for a person, لِرَجُلْ مُسْلِمٍ, for a Muslim person, because Prophet is giving advice to the Muslim, to stay at his brother's place, that is the host place, until he makes him sinful. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُقْسِمُ. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, how can he make him sin? So the Messenger of Allah said, يُقِيمُ إِنْدَهُ وَلَا شَيْ لَهُ يَكْرِيهِ بِهِ. That he stays with him and the person doesn't have anything, meaning has poor means and he can't really look after him. So he's making him sinful by doing that to him. By putting him in, he's already under strained circumstances and he decides to turn up and stay for a few days and nights. So don't do that, in other words. Or in one version, it says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَن يُقِيمَ عِنْدَهُ حَتَّى يُخْرِجَهُ. Or يُخْرِجَهُ, not يُخْرِجَهُ, يُخْرِجَهُ. That it's not allowed for him to stay with the host until the host becomes is put under difficulty, harj, that he puts him under difficulty. So there is the right. Imam Ahmad, for example, says that the right of the best food, the best treatment is one day and night. And then he said, normal food, normal everyday thing that the family eat is for the other two nights. So three nights is the right in total for those who are able to give us host. One night is for special. Some people put the three nights extra over the one night and made it four nights, but the best, I believe, this difference of opinion, I believe the best is three nights, which is mentioned in various ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Just with this distinction of the one night where special food is given, like when the guest first arrives, which is what we tend to do anyway. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and this is mentioned by Imam Bukhari, it is not from the Prophet ﷺ, he said, but it's counted as hadith because he said, Nuhayna, we were prevented from, by who? By the Messenger of Allah. And it's the takalluf, that we go out of our way. Yeah? And the guest is not supposed to put the host in a situation of takalluf, that it becomes difficult for them to do something. And the host is not supposed to carry that burden either. In Ahmad and Tabarani, Salman al-Farisi says, Nahana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an natakallaf lidayf ma laysa indana. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented us from doing takalluf for the guest with things that we don't have. Right, this is like going overboard with a guest and you don't have the means, so you go out of your way, putting yourself in debt, perhaps go to the shop and say, can I have this on, I'll pay you later in a month. Don't do that. Yeah, that's not what we don't have to put ourselves. Yeah, so this is the other side of the equation. Yeah, people can't just turn up and you're in a constrained situation. And for the host, it's telling them, don't do the takalluf. Don't put yourself in a debt situation in order to fulfill. So it has rights for the host as well to put that thing in balance. So let me summarize the bit about the guest and the right of the guest. If the host has the means to serve the guest, then the guest has a right for three days and nights. Yeah. One, the first day and night that they are given the best of what the host is able to give. After that, just what they have normal for their family. It is not right for the guests to put themselves in, even for the 3 days, it put the host in a situation where they are unable to fulfill those rights, yeah, and that's important for unable, and therefore putting them in a situation of duress, yeah. So one needs to be aware if they're able to be aware. So that's the obligation side. So, however, let me finish with this beautiful hadith, which was a sabab al-nuzul for an ayah in the Quran, the situation revelation. And some of you will know the story. And this behavior of an Ansari, family of the Ansar, is so exemplary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quranic ayat regard to it. But this behavior is not wajib, it is not fard, yeah, that we behave like this. Of course, this, if Allah mentions it, how much great reward there is in it, and it's showing you the kind of people the Sahaba were, Muhajirun and Ansar. And we'll end with this. And this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Huraira. What does he say? He says, radiallahu anhu, anna rajulan atan nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some riwayah, it mentions, in this one, it doesn't say anything, but context tells you what he came for. In some versions, it mentions that he was he was starving. He was really hungry. And he couldn't find food. So he came to the Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَبَعْثَ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِهِ. He sent a message or a messenger to his wives. فَقُلْنَا. And they said, مَا مَعْنَا إِلَّا الْمَا. We don't have anything except water. Now that shows you the status of the Prophet ﷺ's household. Yeah, subhanAllah. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ saying, we've only got water. And there's an authentic hadith mentioned by Umm al-Mu'mineen saying that some months would go by in the house of the Prophet ﷺ and no cooking would be done. Yeah, so what would they have to eat? And the answer was, water and dates. Al-Aswadain, or Aswadain, yeah, the water and dates, that's all they had for months at a time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he tried what he can, but his wives, for him and for the wives, they've only got water. For Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Messenger of Allah didn't say, it's all right, mate, I can't do anything. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, announced in other words, Man yadummu aw yudifu hadha, who will host, and take this person as a guest? Faqala rajul, so a man stood up, a person, min al ansar, ana ya Rasulullah, I will, O Messenger of Allah. Fantalaka bihi ila imraati, ila imraati. So he took this hungry man to his wife, meaning to his home. Faqal, akrami daif. Daifa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to his wife, be generous, be generous to the guest of the Messenger of Allah. He's saying the guest, not our guest, he says, subhanAllah, the guest of the Messenger of God. She said, فَقَالْ مَا إِنْدَنَا إِلَّا قُوتْ سُبِعَانِ. In other words, we don't have anything. We've only got enough food, for our children. And some have even mentioned just for us, enough for one meal for us and for the children. فَقَالَ فَقَالْ حَيِّ طَعَامَكِ وَأَصْبِهِ سِرَاجِكِ وَنَوَّمِ صِبْيَانِكِ إِذَا أَرَادُوا أَشَاءً. So he said, so prepare the food, he said to her, if that's what we've got. And he said, put on the lamps while you prepare the food. And when the children ask for food for their evening supper, the meal, put them to sleep instead. Hungry, in other words, put the children to sleep. SubhanAllah. So she did that. She prepared the meal. And there wasn't enough for them two, the husband and wife. And then, and she put on the light, and she put the children to sleep. ثُمَّ قَامَتْ كَأَنَّهَا تُصْلِحُ سِرَاجَهَا فَأَطْفَأَتْهُ. Then she stood up as though she was trying to fiddle around and fix the lamp, and there was something wrong with it, pretending, and she put it off. Yeah. فَجَعَلَ يُرِيَانِهِ أَنَّهُمَا يَأْكُلَانِ. And they made him think, the guest, while he was eating, that they were eating with him, but they weren't. فَبَاتَ طَاوِيَيْنِ. Yeah, and they spent the night going to bed hungry. But look what happened in the morning. When it came to morning, فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ غَدَى إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالْ. And when the morning came, when the Ansari who did this with the guest went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dahikallahu laylata aw ajiba. Allah was laughing, at the night, or amazed by, meaning your behavior, min fa'alikuma, from your behavior, the husband and wife. Fa'anzal Allah. And so Allah sent down this ayah, meaning Allah is so pleased with you. Yeah. So Allah sent down this ayah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's part of a long ayah saying, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا وَمَنْ يُوكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they preferred others over themselves. Yet, even though they themselves were needy, وَمَنْ يُوكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ, whoever is protected from the desire of their own soul, yeah, such are those who will be successful. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Muhajirun and Ansar great places in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us of their company, make us worthy to be in their company, and make us worthy to be in the company of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to put these beautiful teachings into practice in our lives. If we can't do it 100%, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten us and give us the tawfiq and strength to do whatever we can in our ability to better ourselves, to be better neighbors, to do better hosts, and for those who speak the truth and good all the time. Allahumma ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Any questions, brothers and sisters? Sorry, I've gone on.
Your phone's on mute, Sheikh.
Sorry, have I just put it on mute? Oh, it wasn't on mute all this time, I hope.
No.
I may have been just talking to myself. You guys were all asleep. It's a beautiful hadith, isn't it? And there's so much else in the teachings. Any questions? No, that's good. I've left you all silent. Oh, people are trying. We've gone over the time and people have got busy. Or you've been left dumbfounded. Nothing? Zafar? That's fine then? Nobody's written a question? No? I missed?
No. Nothing's come through, Sheikh.
Okay, brothers and sisters, if you give me permission then.
Inshallah.
I don't know if the words got out.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah.
I just want to know the reference for the last ayah that you have mentioned about the sahabas sharing the food, though
they didn't have that's a hadith, but the reference for the ayah is وَيُؤْثِرُونَ. Where is it? Surah 59, verse 9. You're welcome. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if the word's out that it's on, but we've sent it out anyway, haven't we? The link. So
yeah, Sheikh, we sent it to all
to our usual group. So alhamdulillah. So inshallah, we carry on next week. Most of the brothers and sisters here who are normally here, because not the next hadith, but the hadith after, there's an issue that I want to cover, and I have an idea, and I don't know. I thought I'll get feedback from you lot. The idea in that hadith, as it mentions about slaughter, is to cover the issue of halal slaughter. But what I would like to do, and it depends on what majority of you lot want, I can cover it and give a summary of it, but we can also cover it in more detail as I covered it many years ago. That would require you to get this book, and not because this has got the answers in it, but this is to do a critical analysis of this book of Taqi Usmani, Sheikh Taqi Usmani. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's the only one that I came across that's pretty good in English, but it would mean that in the lesson for some weeks, we read through the book, which is probably about 100 odd pages or less that we need to read. And somebody reads and we make some critical comments and I summarize and add things to it. But it's up to you. Think about that. That would take a while for us to go through. But it would cover the, it would more be a teaching session. Again, clarifying some of the stuff he mentions. Why? Because I think it needs critiquing what he's written in there and adding to and clarifying the issue further. So have a think about it and give feedback. I don't know what some of you think at the moment. For those who are here. No comments?
How many sessions would you say, Sheikh, it would be for this?
I don't know. And that's the only thing is it'll stop us for a bit. I can work out approximately how many sessions it'll take.
Yeah.
And tell you next time. Maybe 4 or 5. I'll have to have a look. Yeah.
I'll send you on the group and I'll ask him for just to vote.
Yeah. Nobody wants to speak today. It's very lonely if you let me just speak and you all stay quiet. Firstly, you don't show your pictures. It's not haram to not, you know, to show your pictures and photos for brothers and sisters, you know. And number two, none of you speak. So I'm just like speaking to myself. Not easy. Don't be, you're not that shy. And your voice isn't aura either.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sorry, Suhail. So I just wondered whether, if it is too long, we could probably keep it in the end if you wish, or see how everybody feels.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Finish the 40 hadith and come back to it.
Because I think you did go through it during Fiqh Sirah as well about, you touched the topic there about halal and meat.
Yeah, touched on. Yeah. Bye. Unless other... Anybody else got anything else to say? Thank you for speaking, Suhail.
Exactly.
All right. Jazakumullah khairan. See you next week. Are we going to do it at 7 next week then?
7, inshallah.
Inshallah. We'll stick to 7. I've got to go to prayer now, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.